enjoy that.
It's a good one, isn't it?
That was great. That got me right in the solar plexus. That was awesome. Thank you very much for introducing us to that.
That's okay. That was from Slumdog Millionaire, if anyone thought it sounded familiar.
Yeah, it was great. It was
great fun.
Busting out some of my Bhangra moves, Bollywood moves, of which I have two.
I have two.
Yeah,
I have two. Twisting the light bulb.
Twisting the light bulb. I'm kind of good at that. I did a great Bollywood dance just one day, you know, 1 hour. And we got to, you know, put on a bit of outfit so that we felt like in the mood. It was just so much fun. It was really joyous. You know, I do love dancing.
Yeah.
I'm no good at it, but I do love it.
It is wonderful.
Right, we're going to join some calls now. We're going to make some calls, and we're going to call Jacob Rajan. Jake, as I've been told, I am allowed to call him. And he is, what's his title at Indian Ink? He is the originator of Indian Ink Theatre Company, isn't he?
Yes, he started it, excuse me, with his collaborator Justin Lewis in the 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I was reminiscing with you, I remember going to see Christian's Dairy, which was one of his first productions, which was just incredible, you know, to see that on stage of something that's quite it's a real integral part of New Zealand.
Yeah, yeah.
Indian ownership, dairy ownership,
yes,
really.
Yes.
And it had never really been told as a story before, not that I had known, and the way that they did it was just so incredible with masks and just expressive and beautiful and alive. And I remember watching it and thinking, this is someone who's going to do stuff.
Yeah,
he's done stuff. So it's 19 years later, he's still bringing amazing stories of New Zealand to New Zealanders.
That's really awesome. Cool. It's a beautiful introduction. So let's give him a call.
Oh, okay.
I reckon. If you put your headphones on now, you will be able to hear him. I'm really hoping so too. So let's. We're going to call Jake. Here we go. Now I have told them that they're going to be live on air. So let's just hope he remembered that bit. It's ringing. Can you hear the ringing? Please hear the ringing. Hello.
Kia ora.
Kia ora, Jake. Oh. How are you doing?
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear us? Oh, hang on. You cannot hear us? Hello. Hello, hello. Am I there now? Can you hear us, Jake?
Yes, got you.
Great. Hi, I'm Lucy. I'm Lucy, by the way, and we've only been communicating by text and via the wonderful Jude Froude. Is that how I say her surname?
Pardon?
Jude
Froude.
Oh,
correct.
Just love her name, Jude Froude. I want to be called Jude Froude. It's just the best name. Welcome to the show. We traditionally start every show with some various technical hiccups, and we've had our fair share this evening already. But we're hoping that we're going to settle into a really cool rhythm with you, because you've been producing incredible shows for such a long time that we feel like we're in really good hands. So take us on a journey, Jake. Take us on a journey. So, Katie, tell Jake.
Hi,
about
Jake. I was just telling Lucy the time that I went to see Christian's Dairy, because I used to work, one of my first jobs out of university was at Creative New Zealand, and I was always going around into theatre and stuff, and I saw Christian's Dairy, and I just remember being so happy to see a story that seemed a part of, such an integral part of New Zealand, to see it on the stage was just really wonderful. And with the masks, it was...
When was that?
Would have been 98 or 99, maybe?
Would that fit in right? Right. Yeah. I mean, obviously, we've been performing it off and on for 20 years.
Yeah.
So, depending on which era you saw it, but that was brand new. It still had wet paint on it.
It was. And everyone was fresh and buzzing about it. It was amazing. And the masks and just the jubilance and joy of it was just wonderful.
Oh, neat.
And you've been, you know, you've gone from strength to strength, and you'll be bringing Mrs. Krishnan's party to Carterton Event Centre in April. Can you tell us a bit about what people can expect from the show? I'd like to talk about Indian Ink as well as a company, but I was just so excited to, you know, what Katie's already told me about the show, and then I went on to your website, Indian Ink website, and found some of the videos of the show, just kind of that immersive theatre experience. It feels totally kind of anarchic and jubilant. Just tell us about the whole kind of ethos behind what you do on stage.
Yeah, I mean, well, you've hit it on the head. What we wanted to celebrate is what theatre does better than TV. TV and film, you know, it's so tempting these days just to never leave home. There's so much content.
That's
so
true.
Much screaming for your attention. Really. Mm. But what it can't do is bring people together in a room. And that's what Mrs. Krishnan's party does in spades, really. You know, we've taken the venue and turned it into the back room of a dairy. So you are literally sitting around a dining table, a kitchen, a stock is everywhere, and we've just taken over that space and made it into another world. And so you're entering into this other world, and you are, I actually had a kind of problem with immersive theatre in terms of audience participation, you know, that it just sends shivers up me.
It can be fraught.
Often it's not audience participation, it's audience humiliation. It's usually the way it's done, and I cringe when I think about it. So I certainly didn't want to do that to our audiences. And so what we have, they're integral in the show, but in the way that you are integral as a guest at a party. You know, you might be asked to stir a pot or decorate something, or blow up a balloon. You know, the actors are so brilliant at looking after you that you never feel like you're made a fool of. And so you have this experience of entering as strangers but leaving as an audience, you know? That transformation happens. And you actually have a shared experience that you're really keen to talk to the person next to you. You've been through something together.
Yeah.
And it actually, from the development season, it worked better than I ever hoped.
Mm.
I was kind of taken along with the journey myself. I mean, I wrote the thing along with Justin and Kelly and Justin Rogers. You know, they were integral in devising the thing. But the actual cumulative effect of it is quite extraordinary.
Mm.
It's unlike any of our previous work, actually. So it really is a special kind of feel-good thing about being human.
Yeah, yes.
Connecting with people.
Do you think, you know, every conversation these days has to include the C word, COVID, but do you think that, you know, at the moment we're able to enjoy theatre of this nature, quite unlike many other countries around the world, do you have any sense that kind of specialness that we have in New Zealand is resonating in the performances currently?
Absolutely. I mean, I can tell you, We spent the whole COVID time, you know, there was a lot of pivoting towards digital for theatre companies thinking, oh, how can we make this work on Zoom?
Mm.
We thought, no, that's not us. It's not what we do. We're just going to use the time to create work.
Right.
And so we actually went full steam ahead, created a whole new theatre work, because you've got to understand, we're a theatre company, you know. Basically, our whole reason for being is mass gathering. And so when COVID hit, it was an incredibly scary time.
Mm.
But we decided just to knuckle down and do what we do best, which is create stories. Create stories that will eventually, you know, touch wood, be seen in the shared air of a theatre somewhere. And so we did that, and we were worried. We were worried because we did a development season last year, and we were incredibly nervous about the appetite for people to get back into a room together.
Mm.
You know, that they'd kind of shy away from it, you know, the idea of wearing masks and social distancing. There was a certain amount of fear about doing that.
Yeah.
You know, when you know that feeling when you're in the supermarket and somebody coughs.
Oh, God, yeah.
And everybody whirls around. Did you have to touch that piece of fruit and put it back?
Yeah.
There's all of that. And so we put it out there. We just put a thing out on social media that we were doing this development season, a two-week season. It sold out 3 weeks before we opened.
Wow.
So the hunger for that connection was so palpable. And the joy with which people came to come into a cave and hear a story was just wonderful. And so I think, you know, New Zealand's really specially placed to be able to still do that, because I think we do take it for granted.
Yes.
The West End is dead. Broadway is dead.
Yeah.
And yet we can still, kind of comfortably, hear our stories.
Yes. Yes, and so, as you say, such a special thing. I've been trying to put myself in the way of stories from overseas around COVID, because I have felt so kind of well looked after here, and I know that's not the case. And so, yeah, you only have to kind of open that door a little bit and you realise that, yeah, things aren't great. And so, absolutely, it has an added poignancy when you can bring people together. Now, we're going to join Kalyani to the call, but it's going to involve you kind of disappearing momentarily, but please don't touch any buttons, just sit tight and everything's going to be just fine. I know how to drive this phone. I've had it for just bear with me, and we'll add
you.
Okay. you have no reason to, so good on you. Okay, 1 second, we'll see you in a second.
Great.
Right, now I just have to get into my phone first of all. This is always, and we're going to go here, and we're going to here. I think this is going to work.
I wonder. You're starting to see content about COVID on Netflix, like films that have been made in isolation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You watched any?
No. I know we talked about that before, like the actual topic of COVID will start to come through and artistic endeavours.
Hope she's not on the loo. She's nipped to the supermarket. Come back.
Hello.
Hello. Is that Kalyani?
Yes, hi.
Hi. I'm Lucy.
I'm Katie.
Hello. And you're now on the show. I'm going to rejoin Jake to the show. Just bear with me 1 second.
Awesome.
I'm merging calls. I'm sure nothing can fall off the phone if I do this. Hang on 1 second. And hope... Jake, are you there?
I'm back.
Yes, this is well great. Done, and Carly, you're there?
Yes. Brilliant. The miracle of technology.
Oh, my God, I tell you what. Me and Katie and I break out into a sweat every time we do this. Oh, look, when did you two, do you two see each other every day?
No, I'm in Wellington. Oh. And Kelly's in Auckland.
Oh, there you are. Oh, that's nice to bring you two together again. That's lovely. Kelly, we've just been kind of exploring the topic of your show and, at Mrs. Christian's party, but also talking about the kind of COVID moment that we're living in and just how much additional poignancy there is to your show as a result of joining people together. And you are right in the centre of this show, you know, and I've heard you described as the catalyst that really gets the party going. And so, you know, I've got the sense that you're absolutely pivotal. What does it feel like to be a performer at the moment doing this kind of show in the kind of times that we live in?
Yeah, it's a blessing to be able to perform theatre, I think, is the first thing. And especially Mrs. Christian's party, it's kind of, it's a show that I see myself doing for a long time, and I have been doing for a long time, along with Justin Rogers. And, yeah, it's really humbling to be able to share this story, because it's probably been exactly a year since we've done it, and a lot of opportunities obviously got cancelled because of COVID. So to bring people together, to share some food, to have a dance and a yarn, I mean, what more do you want, really?
Yeah, absolutely. So could you tell us about your character and just how the show unfolds, without giving away any spoilers, which is one of my favourite things to do. So I'm handing the storytelling over to you now.
Oh, great. Oh, I'm the worst. I'll give away the spoilers. So I play Mrs. Krishnan in Mrs. Krishnan's Party. So, Zena Krishnan, she owns a dairy, and the dairy changes based on wherever we go. The dairy is just where we are, based on location.
Okay.
And, yeah, so she's in her sort of like early 50s, late 40s. She's been running this dairy for 20 years. She lost her husband. So this show is a sequel to Krishnan's Dairy,
mm-hmm.
which is Indian's first ever show. And it kind of follows two really interesting storylines. And it's about kind of change and what happens when you're faced with change, both later in your life and also in sort of the beginning of your adult life.
Mm.
And so Justin, who plays a character called James, is my boarder. And it's an amazing sort of meeting of two generations through the party. It all happens at the time that it's happening. It's all happening in real time.
Mm.
So it's about, change really, and what is happiness is the big question in this.
So, okay.
Duty versus happiness, and those kind of really intense roles that we play in life, no matter where you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds amazing, and I think just seeing some of the clips that you have on your website indianink.co.nz, it's full immersion. You're kind of in there, and just kind of explain to me, you're dealing with a different audience every night, and people have kind of different levels of participation. To what extent are you having, you know, how do you embrace what the audience are up to and how you need to move the story along? Can it get kind of quite, because it looks like just one big massive party by the end of it. So how do you kind of cope with that as a performer?
Well, the writing's genius. Thank you, Jacob Rudin. and so it's bracketed in a really genius way, where even if it does go astray, we know what lines and what points we need to hit, and we know how to bring it back. So there are some, like, especially if it's a really ruckus audience and they want to get involved, we do play to that, but we always need to bring it back to what's important, and that's the story.
Yes.
So it's controlled fun, but you wouldn't know.
Such skill.
We've done it also. I can't even count how many times we've done it. So we kind of know. Actually, you don't. It's whatever happens on the night, which is why the show's so great to do, because you're never bored. That's the whole show.
Yeah. And do you often see, you know, audiences have various levels of kind of engagement, and we were talking with Jake earlier on about how audience participation traditionally in shows can often be a moment for the audience to feel very trepidatious and maybe a little bit humiliated. Do you often see people kind of transform from the wallflowers into kind of really wanting to get involved? And what does that feel like as a performer to see that kind of transition in people as they just get more and more happy?
It's really heartwarming, especially at the end of the play when it's not just, we don't just finish, we all actually create a community and stay after the bows and things, and I think that's really important because I think for me that's what theatre is about. It's about sharing a space and sharing a story and not just, you know, bookmarking it and going, oh, that was great, off to go get a wine.
Yeah.
You know, we stay and we enjoy each other's presence. But, yeah, the I hate to use the word participation, but the involvement from the audience, I think they click on pretty quick that we're trustworthy characters.
Yes.
And that we'll take care of you. And it's not about, get the audience up and make a fool of them. It's really suspending your disbelief and playing to the reality that you are just all in this room and whatever happens, happens. So if a phone rings, we're going to have to acknowledge it. If someone, I don't know, call, which has never happened, but like, you know, it's very real in that sense.
Yeah.
We're not trying to make it anything that it's not, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. When was the, what was the first year that you performed this particular role, Carly?
Roughly. 2000 and 18?
Right, okay.
2017?
Yeah, yeah. And oh,
one of the 2010s.
Right. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I can't actually. The weird thing was it was off to America pretty quickly, wasn't it?
Oh, okay.
Our US agent kind of snapped it up, and it's been touring America pretty regularly for the last 3 years.
Right.
And of course, then America fell over.
Mm, of course, yes.
Kelly said she was performing at kind of this time last year. That was in Hawaii.
Wow.
And they only just got back before the borders closed.
Oh.
And they were due to do more touring that year, but of course that couldn't happen.
Gosh.
And they're slated to start again next year. But it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
And did the idea of a dairy translate to an American audience, or how did that part? Do they have dairies in America? I don't know. How did that part work?
I haven't seen the show that they've done over there, but the beauty of the dairy is that it translates to just about every culture in the world. You know, in Australia they call them milk bars, and in the UK they call them corner shops, and in America they're quickie marts,
and 7-Elevens,
you know, all run by Indian immigrant families.
Yeah.
Or Korean, or, people get it.
It really
translates.
Yeah, brilliant.
Carly, what were some of the differences, though, that you noticed in how the audience responded? Or were there any differences when you take this abroad?
Between the States, North America and here?
Yeah.
We changed dairy to convenience store.
Yep.
We changed a few New Zealand kind of idioms to ones that we thought that we knew, and we'd have to switch it up because it'd be like, oh, this doesn't actually change. Like, we'll see. But, I think this show really, it's universal, and so it's not just about, you know, an immigrant story. That's a really important thing. This is a universal. It really taps into everything. It's about a mother's relationship with their children. It's about a child's relationship with their parents. It's about, you know, do I really want to be doing this job and slaving away at this, or do I want to do something I want to do?
Mm.
So, I mean, Americans are definitely louder.
Are they?
And definitely, they'll just like start talking to us immediately, and people would start talking to me in Hindi, and I'd be like, "Oh no! I only know Tamil."
Yes.
And so I was like, "Oh my God, I feel like a frog." What was amazing was the Indian population that came to the US shows was really incredible. Like, there was one show in Seattle where it was about, like, I'd say 85% were of Indian descent, that show was crazy. It was so much fun.
Wow. But
that was a really nice thing to see.
Mm.
I think especially in the US, like, I mean, with everything that goes on, you go, the theatre can bring this whole community together, and we get to showcase that story and represent.
Yeah.
That's cool. The ticket options for people who are intrigued and want to come and check it out, because you've got some great, there's ticket options. There's a wallflower, a party animal, cheeky seats. What are they? So depending on what you buy as a ticket, you can have involvement, or wallflowers don't get approached at all. What's the...
Nobody's safe.
Nobody's safe. I love it.
No matter what. And I always get complaints. I picked the wallflowers, and I thought I wasn't going to get packed. And I went,
All right, then. Oh, it sounds brilliant.
It's not as intense if you're in the wallflowers.
Right.
Yeah.
And I like the look of the
$15... sitting at the table.
When you sit at the top table. And how much participation are people who are at the top table kind of doing? What are they, how are they contributing to your performance?
It's all honestly play it by ear. There are some nights where the top table, I mean, obviously they've just seen the most, but sometimes we don't, the top table take a sit and enjoy. We never know.
No, gosh.
Until we're in the audience and we feel the vibe. And we go, okay, how are we gonna do this?
Have you, over the years that you've been doing it, and I think we've ascertained it's about four, but this particular role, but over the years, have you got better at kind of picking the tone of the crowd? Are there some things that you've kind of, you know, just sort of innately pick up on, or is it still, you know, a kind of delightful surprise every night you go out?
Can I answer half and half?
Yes, yeah, I think that's a great answer.
Because yeah, sometimes it is it just flips on its head, and you're in it fully. And then, of course, the more times you do it, the more experience you have. But then, at the same time, sometimes that's almost to your detriment because you get comfortable.
Yeah,
and that's why it's great to have either Jake or Justin or other people come and watch those semi-regularly once they're on tour and stuff, to go, hey, just remember this part, and they get to really keep alive in that.
Yeah. Jake, yeah. Oh, thank you. So we just have, it just gets a bit muffly, Carly. I don't know whether you're under a duvet. No, that's okay.
No, my phone's real bad. Like, it's an oldish phone. Is this better?
Is better. Yes, thank you. Just towards the end of that sentence, I just started to lose you. I found myself crouching down as I was trying to chase you. No, it's all good. Jake, can I talk?
I need to get an iPhone.
Yes, you do. You do, because you can merge calls and everything, as we've discovered tonight. Jake, can we ask you some questions about the theatre company? You've been around for a long time, and you've got a particular philosophy. Could you just kind of introduce the listeners to, you know, what you're really all about, and maybe some of the other things that you've done in the past?
Yeah, I mean, we have been around for 22 years. Justin and I were just thinking about this the other day. It's over two decades now. 1996 is when we got together, and our first show, Christian's Dairy, debuted in 1997. And I think we didn't know anything back then, but we knew what we liked. And we liked story, we liked Mask, which was an unusual thing at the time, and probably, I think it's fair to say, still is, in that we liked theatre that was highly theatrical.
Yeah,
it didn't pretend to be television or film, and therefore a mask embodies all of that. You know, a half mask on your face is utterly unrealistic until the audience comes in with their imagination, connects with you, the performer, and brings that mask to life.
Mm.
And that's where we think the magic happens in theatre, when the audience imagination is engaged. And even with Kelly, she, although you don't think she has a mask, she actually has a set of teeth that are, you know, made especially for her embouchure, her mouth, and they transform her utterly. Of course, she's a gifted comic and physical comedian. She is an extraordinary actor, and she has that extra facility of being able to actually work with an audience, which is a rare thing, to actually engage with the audience and really keep within character, but actually take the audience with her. It's quite, I wouldn't say easy, but it's quite another skill set just to pretend that they're not there.
Yeah.
And just do your play and work with your fellow actor and do a realistic kind of job. But this idea of the energy going back and forth, and, you know, I've taken gaps between seeing the show, and Kelly has just gone from... She is channeling this old woman. Kelly's people are stunned when she takes her teeth out at the end, and you see this gorgeous young woman standing there, where you could have sworn that there was a 55-year-old woman moments ago. She's just amazing, but that's the Indian Ink kind of ethos, really. Mm. That we're into the transformation of the actor, and the audience is imaginative kind of participation in making that happen is really gets a double whammy, because when your imagination is engaged, it sort of opens you up. Mm. And that's the other part of the philosophy, which is the serious laugh. The idea that we open the audience's mouths with laughter in order to slip something serious in.
Mm.
So comedy on its own can be just candy floss. You know, it's there for a moment and you kind of forget about it afterwards. Mm. But with our shows, we want there to be some sort of nourishment. And not in it's a good for you kind of way, but just that idea of the imagination opening, the nourishing of your soul through comedy. And yeah. So the shows are always hopefully funny.
Yes.
You know, humor plays a big part, but humor is sort of a Trojan horse. It's the way we get through your kind of cynicism and actually connect you with what it is to be human.
Yeah.
And all the plays deal in some way with that idea that I wrestle with every day, how to lead a good life.
Yes.
And Mrs. Christian's Party is no exception. You know, it's dealing with some pretty heavy themes, like, you know, facing your mortality and the betrayal of your children and all of this kind of stuff. But there's such a lightness of touch that Justin and Kelly bring with it that really buoys the audience along. And then when they leave, they've really been through something. You know, they've actually helped these people get through a big kind of life crisis all together. And like a village, they've sort of helped make this thing possible. So that's the Indian Ink kind of philosophy, just be more human.
Yes, yes. And again, I think this kind of COVID moment where we are all quite thirsty for that, aren't we? You know, this kind of, we've all had an opportunity kind of forced upon us to kind of look at our life and the planet in a way that we've never been asked to before, and that's coinciding with all sorts of other kind of big global moments as well, climate change and Black Lives Matter, all these kind of things that are really challenging us as a species to take a good hard look. And it sounds like in a way your performances are really part, could, you know, a part of a journey for people in potentially exploring some of those issues for themselves. Would that be?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, without sort of minimizing the impact of COVID, it's been horrible it's been such a terrible year for so many people.
Yeah.
But it's also been, like you say, a real reset.
Yes.
A real kind of evaluation of what's important.
Mm.
And, you know, for me in the theater, on the worst days, it can seem sort of irrelevant. You know, there's so much competing for our attention these days with all the digital presence and social media and everything like that. But actually, on a good night, there's really nothing quite like it, and there's nothing that more concentrates your humanity than sharing stories together. We are born storytellers, all of us. Any conversation we have is telling a story, and we're playing parts.
Yes.
And you know, the masks are more evident in some people than others, but they're there.
Yeah.
So I think, absolutely, I think you're absolutely right. COVID's been awful, but it's also been a wake-up call.
Yeah. Now, you're bringing this incredible show, which Katie is kind of jumping up and down on her seat.
Oh,
she can't
really
wait
excited.
I can't go, unfortunately, but I am going to chase you down.
Can we dress up as my other?
Oh, yes.
Because it's a party, and I've got a ton of saris that need to be aired. Can we dress up when we come to the party?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Oh, good.
It is encouraged.
It sounds like it might be compulsory.
Definitely come to the party. Why not come? You have to come.
Yes. You've got to dress when you're going to a party.
Absolutely. So when will you be here in Carterton? I believe it's the end
29th of April.
Yep.
To the 1st of May. Is that right?
Yes, so we're there for three nights at the Carterton Event Centre. And this is our first time ever performing in the wider Rapa, so we're so excited.
Great.
And it's like I said before, it's our first time doing this show in almost exactly a year, so it's going to be, I'm reeling for it. I'm really, really excited to, you know, restart the journey of Mrs. K.
Yes.
Really, yeah, it's going to be a blast. We're going to have fun.
Yes.
So, I mean.
are there any little bits of Mrs. Christian that you've kind of adopted as your own or vice versa? Is it because she sounds like you inhabit this character so completely and you take her on a journey every night? Is there a little bit that's snuck in and kind of stuck?
Yeah, well, I mean, she's an Indian matriarch, mm. and I've got one, you know, she raised me, an yeah. Indian matriarch. So there's always going to be a little bit of that sass and a little bit of that strength.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, of course, but I'm also a first generation, so I need to, like, jump into that role in a different way
yeah.
and really pay homage to it. But, yeah, sometimes she comes out and in interactions and I go, oh, yeah. I think that happens with every role, though. You take on a little bit.
Yes.
And become a little bit confused after you've played 50 roles, I could imagine.
Yeah, totally. Just out of interest.
Of course, Kelly also cooks. She's an incredible cook, and that's channeled into the show as well, because at the same time as she's performing, she's actually cooking for 100 plus people, cooking, you know, there's enough for everybody to eat by the end of the show.
Oh,
and she has to be able to navigate all of that while acting her little heart out.
I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I know. I can never chop an onion and talk at the same time.
No, not without losing something. Either the onion or my fingers.
I have found out that people still make that dish, which is quite exciting.
Oh, how lovely.
Yeah.
What are you cooking?
Is that a surprise? No.
Is it?
It's simple. It's dal and rice.
Yeah.
But it's yum.
Awesome.
It's delicious.
One last question, Carly. As your the Indian matriarch you just referred to, but I guess that's your mum. Has she seen the show?
My mother?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's seen it like 3 times.
Oh, awesome. Was that quite special, having her in the audience?
Pardon?
Was it quite a special moment having her there in the audience?
I mean, it's always special when your parents come to your show, especially with that one, when you literally can see their eyes.
Yeah.
and I think especially with this one, it's been a really long journey making the show since my first year of drama school.
Mm.
And I think for them to see it all come together and for them to see themselves, you know, in a story is really important.
Yes.
And I think we need more stories like this in Aotearoa.
Yes.
We need more representation. And so in order to do that for, you know, for them and for a bunch of other people, I think it's a really amazing experience. And it's a really, you feel really good about it, I guess.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, stuff going on in the world.
Mm.
It's not that fun anymore. So to bring a bit of humour, a bit of pathos, and some culture to the scene, I think is just really important.
Yeah.
What's next, Jake, for the company? Is there other things you've been working on during the enforced downtime last year?
Yeah. Well, that play I alluded to, it's called Paradise. Or the Impermanence of Ice Cream.
Mm.
And so that's my little solo show that I'll be taking around the country, kicking off in Wellington in May. So I'm sort of just, I'll be nipping after Kelly. I hope to get it to Carson next year, actually.
Oh, great.
It's so good.
There's talks
such a good
in progress. Unless Kelly tells me Carson's terrible.
Oh, we'll make sure she has the best time ever.
Oh, my God, we're going to totally look after you when you get here. Don't you worry.
Yeah, so my tour is 11 centres, which is the biggest tour we've ever done. I think, Kelly, you did 10, didn't you? And that nearly killed you.
Pickle King, yeah.
So, but it's there's a bunch of stuff that fell over internationally, obviously, with our American kind of agent over there.
Mm.
And so, but the flip side, you know, there's always a silver lining, and that's meant, like most of the country, we're rediscovering Aotearoa.
Mm.
We're going to all the little places that we haven't seen for quite a while, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh.
We're going just about everywhere in the next 2 years within our own country, and so that's a great opportunity for everybody to connect with Indian Ink again.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, we'd love to have you both on the show in person one day. That would be lovely.
Oh, just
to,
yes, please.
Yeah, that would be great. And yeah. And just keep on doing what you're doing. It's such important stuff. And I think you're going to give Carterton and the Wild Upper such a treat. I'm so excited.
I already feel like I'm going to be joyous and refreshed. So everybody needs to think about where you want to sit. There's top table, inner circle, your cheeky seats, your wallflower or your party animal.
Yep.
Dressed to impress.
Are you top table?
I don't know. I just want to be close to the action, Carly. So where would you suggest? Top table.
Good on you.
And I've put in a song in our playlist tonight for you guys, just because it's a wonderful song. We played Jai Ho before, but you probably missed that. When I grew up with one of my school friends who's a Tamil Sri Lankan, and when I went to see Christian's Dairy, and it was like my whole experience seeing it on stage with the mama looking after you and you being fed. I just love it, and I just can't wait to see it. It's going to be wonderful. Oh, I feel a bit like, it's lovely. I thought you were going to say you were going to make masala dosa or something yummy, but dal and rice is good too.
She's getting picky now.
Yeah, we're talking 100 people.
Yeah, totally.
No, that would take ages.
No, those are 100. Yeah.
It would take a long time. Thank you so much for talking to us. It's been really wonderful. Thank you. And we wish you all the best
welcome.
For the show.
Lovely
Thank
chat.
You. Yeah.
Take care,
well,
you guys.
To be there. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye. See you soon. Bye-bye. Bye, guys.
Oh, that sounds really cool.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Doesn't it sound exciting?
Oh, it just sounds awesome. Really, really awesome.
Yeah.
And
so tickets through Event Centre or through Carterton Direct, 29th of April to the 1st of May, so 3 nights.
Brilliant. And just important work. You know, it's important, isn't it?
Yeah.
This storytelling. And also changing how people perceive theatre as well and what the theatre can be and mean, I think is just almost as it's as important as the story they're telling us. You know, just getting people there to experience something kind of quite new and
And he's right that you can't go to theatre and not, like, it's so present and in your face and there that you can't not engage. And it's almost like when you have been like home and you've been watching streaming and you can watch anything you want, and then you go to the theatre and there's almost a moment of like uncomfortableness or when you're feeling the rhythms of being in a space and being near and
being near humans who might make a mistake even.
Yes.
You know, there's always a nervousness around, I find.
Yes.
Even watching, you know, professional theatre like Indian Ink, there's always this moment when you're first there thinking, these are real life breathing people, anything can happen.
Yeah.
And but what I love about their concept is they take anything can happen and they work with it.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Very skilled.
Very, very groovy. Let's have some music.
So we're going to listen to... What are we going to listen to, Lucy?
Well, should we play that track that you mentioned?
Yes. Jai Jai...
I've got to... Hang on. I think I've lost Spotify.
Jai Jai Sriviranka.
Okay, hang on 1 second, because my... Oh, no. Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. All right, I'll put it on.
We'll have a little dance. I don't know if anyone can still see us, but do you want some chocolate?
I'm going to have some chocolate, totally. Here we go.
फिक्रे सब छोड़ दो आज हक से अपने हिसाब में हम जो करने चले गलती वो जोड़ लो